Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
God bless you again this morning. This is your friend and brother, Bishop E. James Logan, from the sanctuary here, Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. It's my pleasure again and my honor to minister the word of God to you. A couple things I just want to say. Happy Father's Day to all those that have fathered and are raising and have raised children. Today's message will be particularly of interest to you and will assist you, particularly as a believer, as you and like myself lead families into righteousness and try to bring some more peace into this world. Well, let me pray and we'll get right into this word as we typically always do. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, help the preacher preach, help the teacher to teach, help the people to hear and to understand. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I ask you for a particular and specific anointing for the times that the words that I say will have a major impact on the lives of everyone that hears. All for your glory, Lord Jesus, is my prayer. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Well, get your Bible and open to the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter. It's like the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. And we're going to really, this is really part two of my last message, Isn't That Your Brother? But it's got a different title because the focus is going to be the church. And so the message title today, when you go, and if you go to search for it on our webpage or YouTube or wherever you may try to find it, the title of the message or teaching this morning is Do the Right Thing, Church. Do the Right Thing, Church. So obviously this message is geared specifically to and toward the church. Well, the book of Philemon, many believe, which is the eighth book in the New Testament, by the way, eight being the number of new beginnings. Many believe that this book, Philemon, was a personal letter written by the Apostle Paul to Philemon. And certainly I see why people say that. But when you read the beginning of it, which we won't take the time to do, you can do that on your own, you'll see that when Paul writes this letter, he does his normal greetings of grace and mercy and love, but he also goes on to mention not only Philemon, but he mentions Philemon's wife, Apphia. He mentions Archippus, which was a leader in the church, and he mentions the church itself. So Paul wasn't just writing this letter to an individual. He was writing this letter to a man who had church in his house, because again, during those times, people didn't have church buildings and structures such as this to have church in. People had church in homes of Christian leaders. And so Paul was addressing the church in the home of Philemon. So Philemon was a wealthy believer because he had space enough to have church in his home. And he also was a slave owner. Philemon was a slave owner. And the letter that Paul is writing to Philemon is regarding his runaway slave, Onesimus. Onesimus was Philemon's slave, and history says that Onesimus stole something from Philemon and ran away. He stole from his master and ran away. But in his running, he encounters Paul. He runs into Paul and gets saved. He runs into Paul and gets saved, and then Paul begins to use him in ministry. And no doubt, Onesimus tells Paul his story. So, with that backdrop, let's talk about doing the right thing in the church, or the church as a whole doing the right thing. Paul, in writing this very short letter that has now become the eighth book, as I said, of the New Testament, Paul writing this very short letter, his intention, and we gotta really get this, gotta understand this, gotta grab this. Paul's intention was to set a new precedent, or set a precedent in the church. This letter is setting a precedent in the church. Something that is becoming, or should become, a new direction for how the church deals with slavery. Please hear the preacher today. Now, it is said that this book, Philemon, was written right around AD 60. So this is at the beginning stages of the church. So Paul, again, is, I believe, setting a precedent in the church by this letter that many would like to think is just a personal letter to an individual named Philemon, when in actuality it's written to Philemon, his wife, the leader in that church, and that church as well. Let's look at it. Let's walk through it. And may the Lord give us all understanding in these things. So Paul writes this letter while he's in prison. He wrote this letter while he was in prison and gives it to Onesimus, who, as I said, had been working with Paul. One of the things that Onesimus did was deliver letters to the churches that Paul had established while Paul was in prison. And so again, like I said, Paul gives his usual greetings in the first few verses of the book of Philemon. But then when he gets to verse number 8, if you look at it with me, Paul gets right down to business and deals with the subject at hand. Notice what Paul says in Philemon chapter 1, which is only one chapter, and verse 8. Paul says, "Christ makes me bold enough to order you to do the right thing." Now, this is from God's Word to the Nations translation. That's why I chose it. This is from what I just read to you, is from God's Word to the Nations translation. It's not King James, not New King James, not NIV. This is God's Word to the Nations. Paul says to Philemon, "Christ makes me bold enough to order you to do the right thing." Paul says, "I have the spiritual authority as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to order you, Philemon, to do the right thing. I can order you to do the right thing." But Paul says, "No, I'm not going to order you to do that. Even though it's my responsibility, I'm responsible to Christ, rather, because he, in essence, he saved me and he called me into the ministry. So Paul has a responsibility. So let me stop. Christian leader, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, supervisor, superintendent, whatever you call yourself, if you are a leader in God's church, you have the responsibility to do the right thing. Just like Paul, you and I, as so-called Christian leaders, have the responsibility to Christ, to the church, to the kingdom, to address these issues of slavery and brotherhood. We have the responsibility. See, this is not the time. Let me try to help a few preachers here. This is not the time to be silent. Silence suggests complicity, and agreement. You need to say something, Pastor. Particularly if you're a white pastor. You're not addressing this with your congregation, and you got black and brown folks sprinkled off in your congregation. Come on, do the right thing, bruh. Do the right thing. Address this issue like Paul did
with the church in Philemon's house. See, because once Onesimus was born again, please hear this, even make note of it. Once Onesimus was born again, his status changed. Once he was saved, once he confessed Christ, his status changed. He was no longer just a runaway slave. Now, Onesimus is a child of God. And that's the same attitude that needs to be adopted by many in the church today regarding black and brown folk. We're not just ex-slaves. We're not just ex-thugs, or some, in some cases, in the minds of us, still thugs. We're not animals. When we get saved as black and brown people, our status changes. And this is what Paul is trying to establish in the early church through this man, Philemon. He says, Onesimus is now a child of God, man. He's your brother. He's not just somebody that you used to employ, that used to be over, that used to order. He's not just your slave. No. You've got to change how you see him. And this is the issue of today. And it's not just today. It's gone on for hundreds and even thousands of years, where people refuse to look at people as children of God once they get born again. And this, my brothers, this, my friend, is a tragedy. It's a horrible mark on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Up until this point, we should be better than this by now. Paul is saying to Philemon, your ex-slave, Onesimus is your brother. He should be afforded the same love, grace, and mercy as any other believer. Let me say that again. Now that Onesimus is saved, I know he was a slave. I know he stole something from you. I know he ran away. I know he's guilty. I know the law should catch up to him. But Paul is saying, I want you to know something, Philemon. You're a believer. You're having church in your house, man. You've got to extend Onesimus the same grace you were extended, the same love that was extended to you, the same mercy that has been extended to you. You've got to do the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, favorite scripture among believers of all slants, of all denominations. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Did you hear what the scripture says? If any man, black, white, brown, short, tall, red, pink with purple polka dots, any man be in Christ, they are new creations. Paul is trying to get Philemon to see that Onesimus is a new creation in Christ. Don't look at him like you used to look at him. God no longer sees him the way he used to be. Why, my brothers, are you seeing people the way you want to see them instead of the way Jesus says to see them? Is that not a question that should be asked? And if we do ask that question, we have to also ask the question, make the statement, do the right thing, church. Do the right thing. If any man be in Christ, Paul says, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Paul calls Onesimus in Colossians 4 and 9 a faithful and beloved brother. Paul calls him that. How can you call me something different than what Christ calls me? How can you see me as a black pastor differently than Jesus sees me, who saved me, who called me and anointed me. Come on, do the right thing, church. Paul has been trying to help us. It's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. Maybe we need to ask the Lord to open it up and give us a revelation, because Paul is telling Onesimus, and he's telling us, or telling Philemon about Onesimus, stop seeing him as your slave. Stop seeing him as just your servant and a piece of property that you own. This is the responsibility of every Christian leader around the world, but particularly in America right now. This is the mandate. This is what we have to get straight in the church in America. Church leaders, Reverend so-and-so, Dr. so-and-so, whatever your title may be, how are you looking at your fellow brothers in Christ that don't have the same skin color you do? How are you looking at them? So, Pastor, stop seeing your black brothers and sisters as slaves or ex-slaves, second-class citizens. Our status has changed. If we've confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, our status has changed, and we are now your brothers and your sisters. At least that's what the Bible tells me. Maybe you're reading another version. But Pastor, if you're reading the same version I'm reading, you have to do the right thing. You got to treat everybody the same. Because if you don't, well, let's just be honest. We haven't. This is why America is in the condition it's in right now. Because this hasn't been happening. This is uncomfortable for all of us. I know it's not comfortable for you to hear me tell you, you ain't been doing the right thing. Because who am I to tell you? I'm just reading from the scriptures. I'm just a messenger from God. Again, Paul said in verse 8 to Philemon, I have the spiritual authority to force you to do what's right. But notice what he says in verse 9. He says, however, I would prefer to make an appeal on the basis of love. Paul said, I could command. Matter of fact, Jesus commands us to love one another. God commands us to love one another. And Paul says, because I'm a servant of God, I can command you to do what Jesus already commanded you to do. He says, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to appeal to you, Philemon, on the basis of love. He says, Philemon, I believe you have the love of God in you. So if you have the love of God in you, I know what I'm saying to you, Philemon, makes all the sense in the world. I know that this is convicting you. I know you're starting to see it now, because the love of God controls you. Not your skin color, not your class, not your education, not your geographic location. What's controlling how you see people is the love of God, not your lofty position with your corner office with glass windows that meet in corporate America. No, what's controlling you is not the economy. What's causing you to see people as your brother and your sister that look different than you, it's not whether they dance and shout or whether they clap on the second or third beat. No, it's the love of God. What's compelling you to change how you see your brother and your sister is not whether they're Republican or Democrat or Southern or Midwestern. What's compelling you to make the change is the love of God in your heart. So come on, church, do the right thing. Do the right thing. So I'm urging you, like Paul, because I can't command you to do anything. I can tell you what Jesus commands, but I can't command you to do anything. All I can do is appeal to you.
by the love of God. By the love of God. By the love of God, man. You're a pastor. And you haven't addressed racism for the love of God, man. You're a leader in the church, and you can see your brothers suffering and going through what they're going through, and you won't reach out. You won't have a voice. You don't say anything. For the love of God, do the right thing.
Paul goes on to say to Philemon, he says, when Onesimus was your slave, he wasn't beneficial to you. In fact, Onesimus, the name means beneficial. But Paul says, I know he wasn't very much help to you when he was your slave. In fact, he stole from you. He didn't too much increase you, but he certainly took away from you. But he's a different man now. He's a different man. I led him to the Lord. I taught him who the Savior was. I taught him who died for his sins. I told him that he wasn't bound by what the enemy used him to do. I told him that he's now brand new, that he's been washed in the blood. I told Onesimus, you've got a new life and a new mind. And if you stay in the Word, let me help you renew your mind. And you won't think the way you think about yourself, and you won't think the same about Philemon. You won't think the same about anybody. Once Jesus Christ truly comes into your heart, you see everything differently. And this is what has happened, Philemon, to your ex-slave, Onesimus. He wasn't much good to you then, but I guarantee you, because he's saved, he will be useful to you, because he's very useful to me. So you need to see him differently. Stop holding him back by the image you have in your mind about him. And let God show you who he is to the kingdom of God now, because he's very beneficial to me. So let him become beneficial to you. So Paul goes on to say in verse 12, I'm sending him back to you. Because we got to get this right. I'm sending Onesimus back to you. But I want you to look at him differently. In fact, you should look at him differently because of what's in your heart, because the Holy Spirit is pouring God's love in your heart. So I know you're going to do the right thing when I send him back. I know you're not going to beat him, flog him. I know you're not going to shoot him. I know you're not going to torture him. I know you're going to look at him with love, just like I looked at you with love, because I'm your spiritual father and I am his spiritual father as well. So I know you're going to do the right thing. So I'm sending him back to you. Watch this. He goes on to say, this is like sending you a part of me. Paul says, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. He is now born again. He is now spirit-filled. He is now a child of God. He is now my brother. So when he comes back to you, I'm sending him. He's a part of me. When you see him, you better see me. You better see some of me in him, because I imparted the same grace that Jesus imparted into me. I imparted the same grace into him I imparted into you. So when you see him, you should see me. Did you hear what Paul said? Sending Onesimus back to Philemon was like sending or giving up a part of himself. How much more personal can that be? How much more personal should we look at this relationship? How much should it cause us to review our relationships right now in light of race, color, creed? How should we look at one another that claim to be Christians? This man is no longer a slave. One of the other points I want to make in this message is this. I pray many more of you get it than not. As a pastor for over 20 years, and someone that pastors pastors, you need to understand that we pastors become connected to the people we minister to. I don't care where you go. I don't care if you leave the church and go halfway around the world. If I'm the one that God used to bring you into the kingdom, there is a connection between us that will never be broken. And this is what Paul is illustrating to Philemon. He's, I love you, you my brother, but Onesimus is no less my brother than you. Because he's a slave, because he stole something, doesn't mean I love him less, doesn't mean you have a better place. No. So I want you to know when he shows up, he's a part of me is in him. Because I got him saved. I brought him into the kingdom. You treat him like you would treat me. He's a part of Paul. He's a part of the body of Christ. And hear this. And he's a part of the current move of God. Write that down. Onesimus, once getting saved, once being born into the kingdom of God, he is now a part of a right now move of God. So if Philemon would reject Onesimus, he's rejecting a move of God. This is what's been plaguing America, I humbly submit to you. Because we pick and choose who in the kingdom, who in the church we like, and who in the church we hear from, and who in the church is right, and who in the church is not right. We are hindering moves of God. We are not receiving moves of God. Onesimus was a fresh move of God that Paul was sending back to Philemon. And for Philemon to reject Onesimus, he was rejecting a fresh move of God coming into his life. To mistreat, hear me, to mistreat and misunderstand who another believer is in the kingdom of God, and to not try to understand who they are and where they fit, hinders, delays, and frustrates the grace of God. It literally gets in God's way. It literally impacts the plans that God has to move on the earth. Let me give you a proof text. Obviously, there are many, but for time, I'm going to give you one. Matthew 23:37, Jesus says this on his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He says, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus said, I wanted to bring unity to Jerusalem for a long, long time. But you keep rejecting the people I send to you. You stone them, you kill prophets, and you don't want to hear from other people. You're hindering the move of God from coming into your life because you choose who's saved and who isn't saved. You choose who's acceptable and isn't acceptable, and it's not based on God, it's based on you. And we seemingly, the church, haven't learned much over the several thousand years. But I believe it's time to do the right thing. Let's do it. Let's do the right thing so we stop preventing God from bringing unity. Oh, we love to quote the scripture in 2 Chronicles 16, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Only God can heal the land, but we have to be willing to let God do it. And in order for us to be willing to let God do it, we have to do the right thing as the church and see each other as the family of God and do the right thing.
treat each other as brothers and sisters. So he can gather us together under his wings. He wants to gather all of us together. But he can't because certain groups keep running other groups away. Certain groups keep labeling other groups as not born again, and God doesn't love them, and God can't use them, and they're not like us. How can he draw us all together when we aren't willing to come together? And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 23. They weren't willing. God says, I wanted to bring you together, but I couldn't because you weren't willing. You weren't willing. God is willing, but we're not willing. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. Are you willing? Paul says, I have the same love for Onesimus as I do for you, Philemon. Verse 14. Yet I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I want you to do this favor for me out of your own free will without feeling forced to do it. I want you to love black, brown, and red people the same. There's not going to be any stimulus money for you. You're not going to get a photo op or a TV series. You're not going to get a book deal from Random House. Do this because it's the right thing to do. Do this. Love one another because it's the right thing. Speak up, white pastor. God gave you a platform. Speak up, because it's the right thing to do. Let me finish. Verse 15, Paul says to Philemon in the church in his house, perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldst receive him forever. Paul says, maybe he left, maybe all this happened and he messed up. So he could get himself together and come back and stay with you willingly and help you for the rest of your life. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. Hear what Paul says, not as a slave. I'm not sending him back to you as a slave. Don't get it twisted. Don't let him come back and you get caught up in your old antebellum. You get caught up in your old ways. No. I'm sending him back to you not as a slave, but as a brother. Don't get it twisted. He said, he is especially dear to me, but even more so to you, both as a person and as a Christian. So if you consider me your partner, Paul says, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, Paul says, or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Paul says, I promise to pay it back. I'm writing you this with my own hand, Paul says. I won't even mention that you owe me your life. I'm not going to mention you owe me your life. But he did mention it. Isn't it amazing how we can forget what God has done for us and look down on other people? Verse 20, so because we're brothers in the Lord, do something for me. Give me some comfort because of Christ. I am confident, Paul says, as I write this to you, that you'll do this. And I know that you will do even more than I ask, because I know you got the Holy Ghost living in you. And you're able, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he asks or thinks in you, through you and I. I know you're going to do more. I know even now by the Spirit that there are brothers listening to me that you're going to do the right thing and you're going to even do more because you are filled with the love of God. You're full of Holy Spirit and power, and you're understanding exactly what I am saying. Now, as I get ready to close, as I said when I got started, this book, the eighth book of the New Testament, bears the name of Philemon, but we can't lose sight on the bigger issue. The letter wasn't just for Philemon, but it was written, and Paul mentions their names. He mentions Philemon's wife and the leader in the church that was there. Did you hear what I said? Paul writes the letter to Philemon, but he mentions Philemon's wife and the leader of the church because he's addressing all three. What do I mean by that? Paul, in essence, was saying, catch the revelation. We cannot have racism, elitism, or classism in the church. Galatians 3, 27, 28, Paul again has written these things. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He says also in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, for there is no difference, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. See, why is it? If you noticed, and maybe I know I need prayer, maybe I need even more prayer. I guess I do. But if you notice that it seems like the longer we go in history, there are more and more distinguishable groups than ever. Isn't that something? Everybody wants to be distinguished from a group. LGBTQI, Baptist, Methodist, New Pentecostal, New Baptist, Fresh Catholic. Lord have mercy. We got so many distinctions, we don't even know who we are. No wonder we can't be one, because everyone wants to distinguish themselves. I mean, we got shows, Blackish, now you got Mixedish. Lord have, I'm mixed up. Why can't we just be humans? People. I'm a person. I'm a person. I'm a man. Love me like a man of God. Love me as a brother. Love your sisters as sisters. This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, look, the reason I'm writing, not just to you, Philemon, but to your wife and the leader in the church, is watch this. Because Paul understood something that we have, I'm afraid we've not paid enough attention to, and here it is. Here it is. The church was in Philemon's house. We don't know how many children Philemon had, but he had a wife. And Paul knew, if I let Philemon be racist, the church is in his house. His children will grow up and be racist, elitists, and classes. They'll grow up thinking they're better than people. And then that church will be a church that thinks they're better than other people. Oh, you follow me, aren't you? And then the churches who impact the community will teach the community that they're better than other people. That's exactly what's been happening. When you have racist families go to a church, the church will become racist. And the preacher, if he's afraid that he'll get fired, will cater to the racist rhetoric that the people propagate. Now you got a racist church that's impacting the community with racism. But you think you're a Christian because you got a hymn book and there's a cross on the steeple. And Paul says, no, can't let that happen. Philemon, I got to get you straight so that church in your house will be straight, and so your house will be straight, so the community will be straight. Because I believe that stuff in your house, it'll get in the church and it'll get in the community. So do the right thing. So as I close, drop the mic moment. It's time, church, to do the right thing. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you, because some of you have been convicted by this. And it's within each race and denomination. We've got to see each other the way the scripture tells us. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us of our sin. Forgive your church for being influenced by skin color, finances, politics, all the creature comforts, privilege, all the things that we have ignored. Help us to see ourselves the way you see ourselves or see us, and help us see us the way you want us to see us, so we can see others the way we should see them. Forgive us of our sin, of racism, elitism, classism, division, separatism, and all these other isms. Heal our nation, heal our land. Help us to humble ourselves in earnest and in truth in this hour, and come together as one body, male, female, bond, free, white, black, brown, whatever it may be. Help us, because you're the only one that can heal us. You're the only one that can deliver us, and you're the only one that can bring us together in unity. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless your hearts. Please continue to support this ministry. We need you to support us so we can continue to get the word out. I know this word has been blessing many of you. I've been hearing people sharing from Facebook to our website, where we post the messages, and they're there for your review for at least a week on Boxcast, and then sprinkling out a little bit more on YouTube. But we thank you, and we really want you to continue to pray for us and pray for this nation. In Jesus' name, peace. Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.